Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, friends, as we look at our lives day by day, moment by moment, we realize there are times in our lives where we drop the ball. That's called sin. And when we do, isn't it good to know that there is a loving God and a forgiving God who is wanting to embrace us and to forgive us and grant us his compassion and his mercy. The book of Lamentations says that every morning his compassions, his mercies, they're new every morning. Every morning God says, good morning, welcome to my world. Welcome to this day. And may you learn to be, as my followers, a forgiven forgiver for Christ. So as we look at our topic for the day, being a forgiving Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, may God speak to us. Folks, you're listening to Don Chris, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls. And the fact of the matter is that this is the Good News Christian Ministries. You can reach us at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's KOG1WO. And again, I want to welcome you to part five of our message entitled The Forgiven Forgivers. Lord, forgive us our sins. The Lord's Prayer, as we've been looking at week by week, reminds us of so many things. And this week we will focus on forgiveness. But let me set this in context once again as we come to that prayer that so many of us have come to love and to know. As we hear the words, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as perfectly as it is done in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and here it is, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive others who have sinned against us. Another translation says, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Or forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Whatever version or translation you use, the point is made. That part of the prayer is about forgiveness. Let's recap again as we look at the Lord's Prayer. I've been mentioning week after week that we went back to the Didache as we look at the teaching of the 12 apostles and what the early church actually did with the Lord's Prayer. Again, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to be identified to be followers of you. People, when they hear us pray, will know that we are followers of this rabbi, this master, this teacher. And he did, and we should pray what he taught, the Lord's Prayer. The Didache tells us historically, and it makes it quite clear, that that early church practiced using the Lord's Prayer at all public worship services. As well as that, they insisted that it was so important that non-believers were not allowed to pray that prayer. The Didache encouraged all believers to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. As a matter of fact, we're reminded that they prayed it on special occasions as well. Last week I mentioned that the first half of the Lord's Prayer is directed to God. It speaks of his paternity, our Father. It speaks about his person, holy is your name. It speaks about his program, your kingdom come. It speaks about his purpose, your will be done. And now we move toward the need for provision. We spoke about this last week. Give us today our daily bread. And now today, it speaks about pardon. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others who have sinned against us. Next week, we'll look at protection. Lead us not into temptation or a time of testing. And then following that will be preservation. Deliver us from the evil one. Are you ready for the message for today? This is a tough message. It's a hard topic. Forgiveness. Everyone struggles with this. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you know in your heart that forgiveness is not optional. So let's begin with number one. the practice of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, good old Peter raises that question that you've raised and I've raised. Lord, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive that person? I mean, really? How many times, Lord? It seems I'm forgiving them all the time and they just don't seem to get. How many times? And then Peter answers his own question and says, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive him? As many as seven times? We need to understand Jewish culture at that particular time. The standard for forgiveness at that time was it was legal that you forgave a person three times. You had to forgive them three times. I think Peter had been listening to Jesus' message, go the extra mile. Someone asks you for your shirt, give them your cloak. So when he says, Lord, he didn't say, should we forgive him three times? He doubled it and added one. Should we give him seven? Forgive that person seven times? Isn't it interesting? I'm sure the other disciples looked at Peter and thought, what are you doing? What are you saying? I'm sure Peter thought Jesus would smile at him and say, good for you. But he didn't. What he said was, no, you need to forgive that person 70 times 7. Say what? 70 times 7. You know, if you do the math on that, that's 490 times you have to forgive the person. Jesus was not, hear me clearly, Jesus was not saying everybody ought to own a calculator and everybody you know and every time they drop the ball and offend you or do something to you and you need to forgive them, you don't look and say, hey, that's 318. Be careful. Or another person you don't look at and say, whoops, that's 489. One more and then you're out. That's not the meaning of it. Jesus is insisting. He's teaching. He's bringing forth the truth that we must continue to forgive even as God continues to forgive us. The practice of forgiveness. We need to learn as followers of Jesus Christ to see our identity as forgiven forgivers. Point number two, the prison of unforgiveness. Yes, when we've been violated or wronged or there's been an apparent wrong or we're a perceived wrong, you know what? There's a natural process that takes place in our minds and in our hearts. Now hear me, if we don't stop this process, this is what's going to happen. Follow this closely. When we believe that we've been wronged, irritation sets in, frustration sets in, and if we don't get on top of that immediately, anger sets in. And if we don't deal with that, the anger will lead to resentment. And if we don't deal with that, resentment will lead to bitterness. If we don't deal with the bitterness, bitterness will lead to rage. Okay, so let's do that again. Irritation, frustration leads to anger. Anger leads to resentment. Resentment leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to rage. And if we don't contain the rage before it happens, there will be only one thing on our agenda, and that one thing will be revenge. Sound familiar? Remember that Chinese proverb, whoever opts for revenge should actually dig two graves? That's exactly what's happening when we seek revenge. One person said, not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. There's something to ponder. Look, if we say people are beyond forgiveness, we give them a power over us that they should not have. We give them the last word. We need to choose. This is a choice to release the issue to God and to release the person to God. I'm speaking to you about it. The fact is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to forgive. I need to forgive. We'll speak a little later in the message about how that person receives forgiveness. Our part is to choose to forgive, choose to release them. Remember this. It's a good counseling principle. Release brings relief, which gives birth to peace. Release brings relief, which gives birth to peace. Meaning, you not only set them free, but you go free as well. It's a picture of being in jail. It's a picture of being a prisoner. See, what happens when we don't release people, it means we don't release ourselves as well. So we end up focusing on the violation or the perceived violation. We nurse it, we rehearse it, we curse it. We become a prisoner where we're really experiencing self-victimization. We're like a dog with a bone. There's no future in not forgiving. Desmond Tutu, who wrote No Future Without Forgiveness, he wrote these words. The way of forgiveness does not forget the past, but through truth and reconciliation finds a way beyond toxic memory. The way of forgiveness does not forget the past, but through truth and reconciliation finds a way beyond toxic memory. In other words, don't ever forget that you've chosen to release that person. Don't ever forget that you chose to release that person to God. And thus, at that moment, you released yourself. Let me speak about the power of forgiveness. Dr. Carl Menninger, famous psychiatrist, he said if he could convince his patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could leave the next day. Oh, forgiveness is powerful. Ernest Hemingway tells the story of a father and his teenage son who had a strained relationship that led to a broken relationship. The son left home. His father mourned the loss. He became focused on a search for his son. He even put an ad in the Madrid newspaper, and this is what the ad read. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon tomorrow. All is forgiven. I love you. Your father. The next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. Well, does that ever speak to that issue of forgiveness, doesn't it? Listen to me. As followers of Jesus Christ, we aren't just forgiven. We are forgiven that we might become practitioners of radical forgiveness. We are to be and to see ourselves as forgiven forgivers. You find that quote in Radical Forgiveness, the book written by Brian Zond. Father, forgive us even as we forgive others. That's the truth. Let me speak for a moment about the power of forgiveness. And I believe we understand this. Have you ever caught yourself saying, but I don't feel like I can forgive. I just don't feel like forgiving. I just don't feel I can do it. You know what? It's a choice. Corrie Ten Boom, who could speak very carefully at the pain that comes through the concentration camps of Nazi Germany, lost so many family members. We all know these stories. That we bleed with them as we hear the stories. This is what she said about forgiveness. Listen to it very closely because I want to speak about the promise of forgiveness. She said, forgiveness is not an emotion. So when you say, I don't feel I could forgive, the fact is, it has nothing to do with feelings. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness, she says, is an act of the will. And this will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Wow, is that profound or what? Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of the will. The will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. You see, we forgive because it's the right thing to do. Whether we feel like it or not is irrelevant. Let me speak for a moment, number five, on the penalty of not accepting forgiveness. See, when we forgive somebody, we release that person. Now, for them to receive forgiveness, for them to be released, they need to receive the pardon that's being offered. Oh, the year was 1830. George Wilson was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail and was sentenced to be hanged. President Andrew Jackson issued George Wilson a pardon, but George Wilson would not accept the pardon. The matter went to Chief Justice Marshall, who concluded, listen to this, he concluded that George Wilson would have to be executed. Chief Justice Marshall wrote the following, a pardon is only a slip of paper, the value of which is determined only by the acceptance of the person being pardoned. If the pardon is refused, there is no pardon. Therefore, George Wilson must be hanged. And he was. Folks, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ issued a pardon as he hung on that cross and paid for the sins of the world. But that pardon is conditional on our acceptance. As many as received him gave them the power to become children of God. If that pardon is refused or ignored, there is no pardon. There is no forgiveness. You know, there's a picture of receiving forgiveness, and I think it's so important that we get hold of this. It's one thing to say to somebody, I forgive you, I release you, but in our hearts we want to know, well, what is their part? What part do they play? What do they need to do to receive this forgiveness? In asking for forgiveness, here's the truth. One must demonstrate what I would say, three vital decisions. First of all, they need to own it. Whatever they did wrong, they need to own it. Secondly, they need to confess it. And thirdly, they need to turn from it. I think you'd agree with me. If we were dealing with your teenager, if we're dealing with someone in your life, you want to know that they're not just saying, oh, sorry about that. Will you forgive me? You want to know that they own what they did and that they're confessing that they were wrong. And you want to see a change. That you want to see them turn from it. Gary Chapman writes the book, The Five Languages of Apology, and in it he speaks about five R's. I've actually added to that list of five and made it seven. It seems that the more I think about it, I keep adding categories. But the reality, I believe, all of this should look like this. The fact of the matter is, when you release somebody, when you forgive somebody, for them to receive what you're offering them, you want them to do the following. Number one, you want them to show remorse. You want them to be remorseful. What does that mean? You want them to say to you, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I did. For them to receive forgiveness, you see, we can offer it, but for God to grant the pardon, they have to be remorseful. They need to say to God, and they need to say from their hearts, Lord, I'm so sorry. Secondly, they need to take responsibility. That's the second R, responsibility. The fact is, they need to not only say, I'm sorry, they need to say, you know what, I was wrong. So many parents are still waiting for their kids today to say those words. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. You're right, I was wrong. The third thing they need to do is make restitution. What does that mean, restitution? Funny word. Restitution means, well, let me give you the story. A little kid, your son or your daughter comes home, they're 8 years old, and they say, Mom, Dad, look what I got. I got a brand new bicycle. It's great. It's red, my favorite color. Wow. God is so good. And you go out in the driveway and you look at him and say, pardon me, where'd you get that bike? It's obvious they stole it. And you know what? What you want to see your child do is the following. You want to see remorse. You want them to say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. That's stealing. I shouldn't have done that. I'm wrong. That I would need to take responsibility. Now, they're not going to use those words, but you want to hear them say, I'm sorry, and I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have stole it. Now, if they do that, you don't pat them on the head and say, good for you, and let them keep the bike. Restitution is you got to right the wrong. That's what it means, to right the wrong. You have to take the bike back to whom you stole it from. That's a problem with our world today. I'll tell you, I look out in our culture today and say, we've lost the basic principles of how to live and how to behave out there. No one wants to be sorry for what they did because no one's wrong anymore, and no one wants to right any wrongs because what's wrong? I mean, really, your truth is your truth. Who am I to tell you what you did or what you said was wrong? The reality is, in order for a person to receive forgiveness from God, that they must show remorse. They must take responsibility. They must make restitution and right that wrong. The fourth thing they need to do is repent. You know what that means? They need to turn from that wrong. You know, some of us say, well, going back to Peter saying, Lord, how often do I need to forgive this person? I've forgiven them of this very issue yesterday and then the day before. And the reality is to say, look, God has to forgive you of your stuff every day. So who are we not to follow that pattern as well? The fact is, what we want the person to do is to take ownership. They need to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I need to right that wrong. Would you come alongside of me and help me turn from that wrong? Because I don't want to ever do wrong in that area again. That's what repentance is. It means a change of heart. It means a change of mind. It means a change of direction. It means a change of behavior. I think we all get that. And if a person goes through that, you know what? You have no problem seeing that when you chose to release them, that the fact of the matter is, there is change in their lives, and we would celebrate with that. The next R is renunciation or renouncing. Renunciation means I want to turn from that wrong, but I need to burn the bridge that leads me to that wrong. It's kind of like the person, if they have a gambling problem or a drinking problem, they say, oh, I want to turn, I want to change, I don't want to do that anymore, I don't know what to do. Burn the bridge that takes you to the bar. Burn the bridge that takes you to the casino or wherever. If you have a gambling problem or you have a drinking problem, you have a pornography problem, throw the computer out. Whatever it happens to be, you need to burn that bridge. That's what it means is to renounce. That means not only will I turn from it, I never want to turn back. Then we come to the next R, the sixth one, reconciliation. Reconciliation means change. It means that that person who said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I want to right that wrong, I want to turn from that wrong, I never want to return to that wrong, that person has now changed. They've been changed inside out in their hearts, in their minds, and you're going to see it in their behavior. It's authentic. It's the real deal. And we can celebrate with them. This person has been reconciled to you. This person has been reconciled to God. I said to a parent the other day, she said, how am I ever going to get my teenager, how should I punish them? I said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd write down this list, and I would make them read it to me every time they dropped the ball and explain to me what they believe it means. You give them the information, let the truth be in them, and eventually when they end up parenting, they're going to say, they're going to teach it to their children. They'll get it eventually, because these are the standards that our culture are not living by today. And that's the problem with our culture today. There are no boundaries. There are no standards. Everybody creates their own. I am issuing a call to get back to the basic standards of living. I believe which the Bible teaches. Remorse, responsibility, restitution, repentance, renouncing or forsaking our ways, and reconciliation. What's the seventh R? Repeat the above list whenever you drop the ball. Repeat the above list whenever you sin. Repeat the above list whenever you need forgiveness. And so it is with the people of God. And so it is with our friends and our family. So it is with people who dwell too long on their sin and refuse to release it to God or refuse to forgive. Again, they nurse it, they rehearse it, they curse it. I'd ask you this, if that's what you're doing and you're not forgiving that other person, I need to ask you, how's that working for you, by the way? You know as well as I do, it's not working. That's not God's way to nurse it, rehearse it, curse it. God's way is the road to forgiveness. And through the act of forgiveness, we understand that the past is not forgotten, but by faith in God's redemption and in his work at the cross, it comes to be viewed in a new way. The injustice is always to be remembered, never forgotten, but it is not to be allowed to poison your present and to dictate your future. You can read those words in Radical Forgiveness by Brian Zond. Father, we love you. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth in me as perfectly as it is done in heaven. Father, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Father, would you speak to my heart today about forgiveness? Lord, I need to run into your arms and receive that forgiveness from you right now. I need to run into your arms and say, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you save me? Would you remake me into the person that you want me to be? And God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Run into my arms and feel the power of my forgiveness. Amen. Folks, I trust you realize that was a powerful word from God's word. And wow, this is what the world needs today. We need to understand what forgiveness is. Thank you for praying as this message is going out to people who are listening to it. I want to thank you for being prayerfully supportive of this ministry. Truth is, we can't do it without you. Again, if you believe that these messages need to be heard by those who believe and those who are yet to believe, then I need you to add your financial support to your prayer support. Again, make sure you honor your commitment to your home church first. And then after that, stop, think, and pray. And if God leads you to support the Good News Christian Ministries, then would you make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG. 1WO. You can also email me at don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. So many ways of reaching us nowadays. You can listen radio at 6:30 a.m. on CFRA, and that's 5:80 a.m., or on Rogers Cable, 927, or you can listen online and at CFRA.com, or you can go to our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on Broadcast. You know, there's a blog there that you can access, and you can get the notes to this message and all the messages that are being given. And there's also Twitter where you can come alongside and share your comments. Now, look, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. And now, my friends, may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. May God continue to walk with you and bless you. Amen. Let's listen to Chris Tomlin now singing of that amazing forgiveness in his song entitled Amazing Love.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.